What a day. Black Monday, but Joe Shane and Brian Dable are here to stay. For now, BT and Sal on the fan. We'll get to your calls here, I promise. 888-808-1019. We want to hear from you. We'll do the Jets in a little bit, but we still have some more from John Mara. And now we were talking about, I forget, Hop. You have five more cuts that we want to play from Mr. Mara. The first one is what?
It's about the hot seat for Shane and Dable. So here we go.
These guys come back on the hot seat now?
You guys are going to have them number one on the hot seat going forward. So not matter how I answer that question.
In your mind.
We're going to have to see. I'm going to have to be in a better mood this time next year than I am right now.
That's a fair answer. Yeah. I mean, honestly, that's a fair answer. That what he's telling us right there is 100%. If they don't get it going, they're gone.
Right, but yes, but it confirms that this is not a long-term deal.
Correct.
Which then leads me to, well, then why not just get it over with now?
Oh, yeah, no, Sal, I'm just reacting to what he's saying. Right. Like, you know where I stand. I would not have brought either man back to be, you know.
They're goners. If they don't win, think about what is now set up. Now we just heard it again from him. We all knew it, but now you hear it again. They are goners. If the Giants, who are expected to somehow find a franchise quarterback this offseason or else.
That, no pressure, boys.
Yeah. They're goners if they don't start winning next year. Yep. Oh, man. All right, Hop.
All right, here's the one that, BT, you wanted about the roster, if it's better than it was 3 years ago.
How long this roster is better than it was 3 years ago when these two took over this team?
I'm not sure I am all that confident that it's that much better. I think, though, with the draft class that we just had, again, it's very unusual. You have six draftees, all of whom you think are going to help us going forward. I thought that was a huge step. And the free agents that we picked up between, you know, Runyon and bringing Brian Burns in here, I think those are really going to help us going forward. I think once you solve the quarterback issue, I think a lot of these other things will improve as well.
Well, you know, then... I can't stand these two football teams.
So for years, it was about they. So think about what the Giants sold us on. For years, it was about everything else: coach, GM, defense, O line, lack of weapons, everything else. Now it's about the quarterback. Because then it was never about the quarterback. When I was making it about Daniel Jones, it's Daniel Jones. No. It's not Daniel Jones, Sal. You're an idiot. And everybody else who thinks that is also an idiot. It's the offensive line. It's the running back situation or lack of weapons. It's the coaching. It's the GM. It's the system. It's the defense. Now it's about the quarterback. Okay.
Well, now you also have a lame duck staff, which is doing everything in their power to make the most vital decision that any franchise can make under intense scrutiny and pressure and no net underneath the tightrope. And that generally works for nobody.
And by the way, before we get back to the couple of final sound bites here from Mara and your calls, don't you think, like, we could talk about the quarterbacks coming out in the draft and the Giants having a third pick and whoever may be there for you know, to draft a rookie. Don't you think that if both these guys, to your point, know that their job is on the line, wouldn't they be better off selling Mr. Mara on, let's just say, Sam Darnold? Whatever. Pick a veteran quarterback out
That's going to bring some wins next year?
Yeah.
Well, yes and no, because, you know, is Sam coming with Justin? Oh, Neighbors is good, but he's coming with Justin as well.
Throwing him out there. I don't want him anyway.
Is he coming with Kevin O'Connell? Like, because I say that because, Sam Darnold would have made them two wins better this year. Maybe. Maybe not. Honestly, maybe not. And if you sell that to Mara and you don't get a win total, I don't mean that's respectable, but that's fairly gaudy. That's not going to satisfy him either. As a matter of fact, I think that's probably creating more pressure. Like, think about this. Okay, hey, listen, we think Darnold could do this and that. Yeah. Okay, you bring him in, and the Giants go 6-11 with that brutal schedule looking at them next year. I think that's far worse. Plus the big money ticket that you're going to have to spend on Sam Darnold to get him here. That's far worse than drafting, I'm talking about for their job security, not from what we're thinking on the show and what we think is as football.
Kid, yeah.
Like, rather than drafting somebody and going 3-14, but the kid shows a lot of promise, if I'm trying to stretch this thing out and be around for a while, I think taking the young kid and losing more games but showing some signs is better than paying $35, $40 million on Sam Darnold winning 8 games.
Fair enough. Yeah, well, it depends on what the owner thinks, obviously. All right, what do we got? A couple more here?
I'm going to combine these next two because it's about basically the losing and stuff like that.
Okay. How long will it take to improve the product, John?
It better not take too long, Bruce, because I've just about run out of patience.
John, you talk about how important the quarterback position is. You had the number one pick 2 weeks ago, and then you win the Colts game. And then it seemed like you didn't go all out yesterday. But why not have just tanked if you knew they were coming back?
If I had thought that we were tanking either one of those games, I would have fired everybody. They're never going to do that in this organization as long as I'm standing on this side of the grass.
John, you talk about
how important.
Okay, last one.
Interesting. That was something we talked a lot about. Well, I don't want to just gloss over that. I know you talked about Hoff there, Sal, trying to get some things out to get it. But he was talking about the tanking, and I mean that is I respect that. Now you could say that it's the wrong thing for the franchise, but he said if you missed it, if we were tanking and I thought there was any sign of tanking, I would have fired those guys immediately, and that's not going to happen as long as I'm on this side of the grass. I respect that.
Me too. And here's what I would say to that. If they're not tanking, which is fine, then I would have fired everybody based off of the performance against New Orleans.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, if you're not tanking, why are we this bad?
Yeah, I understand. How the hell did you lose that game to the Saints the way that you did? Imagine that. I'm sitting there thinking, man, maybe they are losing these games on purpose. That's how bad that was.
Yeah, we weren't sure for a minute.
Yeah, and obviously they weren't tanking, so then I'd be even more ticked if I were Maron. Now, the last one is on this is a direct response to the Saquon Barkley commercial. Let's listen.
About the commercial? What about the commercial, John? Just before the game, I told him I was very upset with him based on our relationship of so many years. And he said, what do you mean? I said, the least you could have done was ask me to be in the commercial with you. I said, I could have been tossing and turning, and it would have been a great pleasure. I said, there is an acting gene in our family. You know, it's not just my nieces.
That was funny. Good job.
That was good.
Ends on a high note.
He's a good man, John Mara. He's just got to get this thing going. I think everybody's rooting for him. It's just... they just still feel as if they're in the middle of the ocean and there's waves everywhere. And instead of being in a big, safe boat, they're in a raft. Like, it just doesn't feel secure still moving forward.
Yeah, that's kind of why I like his demeanor.
Yeah, me too.
And I trust his pedigree, but it's been a long time. Well, I mean, meaning that he did win.
Yeah.
I mean, it happened. The Giants
understood.
They worry. Like,
I mean,
you
Rex
said.
Won too as a coach and other. Just things erode. Anyway, go ahead. Finish your thought.
That was all. Like, there's something there to still believe in. I don't hear a total tone deaf, aloof owner.
Uh huh.
An out of touch owner the way that I do when Woody speaks. And I will get to the Jets in a little bit.
Yeah. I would agree with that.
That's kind of my point. All right. Let's listen. Let's get some of the calls in here. 888-808-1019. Let's listen to what you have to say. Steve is in Fairport. What's up, Steve?
Hey, Steve.
Hey, guys. It's really good to talk to you again. And my head was exploding over here over the last 30 minutes. So, listen, I'm a little bit older than you guys, fairly mature. I am not prone to conspiracy theories. But hear me out on this, if you would, please. Because none of this makes any sense. I think that's what we're all getting to. I honestly think, and I think his reaction to the question proves it, I honestly think they had an agreement, whether or not it was to tank games, not to win. Let me just make this point, if I would.
Yeah.
8-9 games ago, he came out with the statement, I am not going to get rid of these guys, barring any unforeseen circumstances.
I don't anticipate was the word that he used.
All right.
Yep.
Wouldn't one win and 8 freaking losses
be...
Okay, hang on. The only thing a coach can do to affect the outcome of a game is play calling and personnel. We all talked about this months ago. Drew Locke was not the guy you wanted in there if you wanted to win some games because he was prone to turnovers. He coached DeVito to 4 or 5 wins last year. The worst choice to make if you're going to go ahead and have wins is to put Drew Locke in. He puts Drew Locke in. I went over the games over the last 6-7 games. I sound like an idiot, I know, but I was so convinced of this. There were so many play calling. Look at yesterday's game. 4th and 2 from your own 39 in the first quarter, and you go for it and hand a kid who's never started a game a short field, and they score a touchdown. At the end of the game, you put Malik Nabor in for one play when you're trying to win the game, and you put him on the sideline for the remaining 3. Connor Hughes wrote an article yesterday about the fact that, you know, he's never said this before, but he honestly thought they were tanking yesterday, and he was wondering why the NFL wasn't going to investigate. And Connor Hughes is a guy I think you both respect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We've had him on.
Let's also talk about the fact, if he had that agreement with them, the agreement would have had to have been, and listen, he knows it's about the quarterback. He forced Daniel Jones on the two of them. He realizes now that's a mistake. He realizes they need a franchise quarterback to move on. And when you talk halfway this season, you know, Dable and Shane say, hey, John, that's not that easy. I mean, we need a – there's only two guys coming out this year, and if we're picking 10, 11, 15, we can't get them. Okay, guys, I understand. If you don't play to win, if you don't coach to win,
but when do you
my
think,
promise to you is I retain the two of you.
When do you think, Steve, that he came up with this epiphany to have them tank, in your mind?
At right around the time he came out with the statement.
No, because then there's no way, and thank you for the call, there's no way that they would have beaten the Colts if that were the case.
Yeah.
They almost got, let's just say, and I don't believe any of that, the conspiracy, I believe Mara and what he's saying, although yesterday, how could you argue that Dable was coaching to lose that game?
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you watch that game for any little bit, he just did not coach, like, even in the final couple of minutes of the game where they would have a chance. To me, it was clear that Dable wasn't going all out to win that game, which I was okay with, but you know, the idea of tanking and all that stuff is a bigger issue. But you can't say that the Giants were trying to tank and then coughed it up by smacking the Colts a couple of weeks ago. They had the number one pick. If you tank and get the number one pick, you're not giving that up, and they did.
Well, maybe the answer is somewhere in between. Like, up until the Colts game, they were trying, and obviously during it, they were trying to win. You know, conventionally, as we perceive, you know, really competing to win versus tanking. And then after that, based on the outcry from the win, maybe it changed in the building.
Yeah. I definitely think yesterday they were not trying to, doing all they can to try to win that game.
Yeah, I've got the same impression. And by the way, you know, the NFL, and that's really one of the things the last caller hit on about, you know, how does the NFL not intervene if you think somebody's tanking? Hey, the way that you dissuade somebody from tanking, and I'm not even going to overtly accuse the Giants of tanking, anybody that has or anybody that might in the future, unless there's stipulations put in place that if you do this or you do that, or it's not if you finish first, it's a lottery like the NBA. Hey, I'm going to coach my team the way I'm going to coach my team. Now, if you don't like it, well, then do something about the rules. Change it. What do you want me to do?
It's another conversation, but I do want to have that at some point, if not today, maybe the course of this week or the next couple of weeks. I do think they need to change those rules to prevent all this nonsense. Frank is in Scotts Plains. What's up, Frank? Hey, Frank.
Hey, guys. Good morning. Happy New Year.
Hey,
listen. So I think regarding Mara and bringing back Dable and Shane, I think the biggest mistake over the last few years was paying Daniel Jones, right? I think that decision was highly influenced by Mara. I think he had a big say in that decision. I think he always liked the kid. He was wrong. And Dable and Shane, I don't think they really wanted Daniel Jones, but Mara had a lot of say in that decision.
Yeah, I think that's something most of us share. I think you're probably right. Yep, keep going.
And that's where we are now. And that he made a mistake. And from what I'm reading regarding the number one pick, from what I'm hearing, Shador is not exactly. There's a contingency of folks out there that don't even think Shador is an NFL caliber quarterback.
Well, that's ridiculous.
I don't know how.
That's ridiculous. Whether or not he's going to be.
Okay, I've read that. So, you know, you guys can check it out.
I've watched him play. No, I got you. And by the way, I don't know if my opinion is going to be right. I don't know.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, we all know how number one picks, not all number one picks work out.
True.
Of course. Right? Sometimes you find better quarterbacks later. And thank you for the call, Frank. We appreciate you checking in. And Marash was texting me about this. We talked about this a little bit off the air, BT. I guess this Drew Aller
Penn State.
Yeah, from Penn State.
He's a big kid. I like him.
Yeah, it's possible that he decides to enter the draft in 2025. If he does, then that would make, I guess, three top quarterbacks. Still, okay, so what does that mean? So the Giants don't have to force their way to number two or have Sanders force his way necessarily to New York, but they're still going to have to pick one of those three guys and probably the third one.
No, they're not going to pick one of the three. Yeah. They're going to pick whoever's left over, that which goes back to the complicated nature of winning the game that they did.
Right.
Because, there's no, if you're picking first, there's no guarantee that you get the right guy. But if you're picking first, there's a better percentage that you identify the right player when you have options.
Well, you get your choice.
Well, that's what I mean.
Right, but sometimes it could be best if that decision was taken out of your hands.
Agreed. And there's evidence of that.
I guess the point would be at least there would be three quarterbacks considered worthy if...
Yes, he is absolutely. He's a top 10 pick if he comes out.
He would be considered worthy of that third pick.
He might go before.
Correct. That's what I'm saying. So now you're going to get stuck either
way. I like him.
Like if the Giants had the number two pick and got Sanders, I'm not so sure that that's the guy.
Me neither.
Or I still think they could get Sanders right now if he forces his way. Say he doesn't want Cleveland and Deion and him come up with a way where we want to go to New York and be a Giant. I'm not so sure that Shador Sanders is the answer. Like, I wouldn't want him to be my franchise quarterback.
No, I've always been team Cam Ward over Sanders, and I'm not even sold on Ward.
BT and Sal on the Fan. More your calls when we come back. 888-808-1019. Got to get to the Jets as well. Some news with them as far as who they're looking to interview. It seems like everybody, so we'll get to them as well. BT and Sal back on the Fan. Man, it feels like if you are a coach at any level and have a pulse, you are being interviewed by the Jets. We'll get to the Jets coming up, which is a good thing. Do their due diligence. We'll get to the Jets coming up in a little bit. Woody and Vrabel and all that stuff. Let's get back to the calls here, BT. We haven't got many in. We've been talking. We've been listening to the sound from Mara. Let's hear from the fans. Conrad is in Cherry Hill. What's up, Conrad?
Hey, gentlemen. Happy New Year. Good show this morning.
Thanks, buddy.
Elias, you got to allow me to three quick points. First point, I bleed blue like you do, brother, but I disagree with you with the whole aspect of they had the number one draft pick, and then they blew that. Because I think that passed from a number of teams, and there's no way you can kind of control that, right? So that's one. I think part two,
as far as the tank goes, Connor, it's not a big deal. I don't believe in tanking, but at that particular point, the Giants were in possession of the number one pick. They won a game. Yeah. It cost them the number one pick. That's all I was saying. But go ahead.
I get it, but they tried their best to lose that game against the Colts. It's just the Colts was not even trying to win that game themselves.
Okay,
so if you think about the points going back and forth. So with Mara, there's no way as the owner he could come out and say, hey, you know what? Yeah, they told me, because from the time they make the decision with Daniel Jones, to me, well, that was an indication that they were done with the season because he wasn't injured. There was nothing wrong with him. And we didn't have a better option on the team. So that's a lie, but he can't say nothing different. My bigger point with you was you saying that you wouldn't want Shador on a team. Now, to me, here's why I think that's a mistake. Because I think he is ready. And the reason why he's ready, this kid has been playing under pressure, given the fact that who his dad is. And I think that the fact that his dad played on a professional team is capable and has been coaching him from a very young age of what to see and what to look for, even from a defensive perspective. And how that translates, you could see that on the field because he didn't throw as many picks as Cam Ward did. Now, I love Ward, but again, Shador with the pressure, I think he's able to come in to handle it and being able to handle Malik Nabers. Here's why. He's handled Travis Hunter, who's a big character, who's on the team, and I've watched Colorado the entire season. Mm-hmm. And there are times when he wasn't getting the ball, I could see him yelling at him and telling them to, you know, be quiet or what have you. And he distributed the ball throughout the whole team. Some of the big plays that they had throughout the season came from other players.
They may not, and thank you for the call, Conrad. They may not even have a chance to take Shador Sanders, so it could be a moot point. I'm going to go back and watch more film of each of the quarterbacks to give you a definitive feel who I would want. But I'll tell you this, based on what I've seen so far from Bo Nix and Michael Penix, I don't think any of the guys that are coming out are going to be better than what they have shown already in 1 year, and less than that.
Well, neither one has great size. When you talk about Shador and Cam, doesn't mean that they can't, you know, obviously in the right system be really good. They could. I do think the caller raised some interesting issues. Like, I don't think that Sanders would be overwhelmed at all by New York. I think, being around his dad certainly probably desensitizes him to that stuff that kind of maybe some other players might get swallowed up by and trip over.
Agreed, 100%.
I just don't know if he can throw the ball the way he needs to throw the ball. That's it. that's my only doubt.
Right. Now, you could say that there's maybe great value in those other things that maybe some other guys, Zach Wilson or Sam Darnold, whoever.
Yeah.
Yeah, Daniel Jones at times, although I really don't think it was New York that beat him up. I just don't, you know. But with Sanders, I wouldn't worry about that. I don't think the spotlight of the NFL or New York is going to be too big for him. I don't love the way that he plays the quarterback position. I don't love the way he throws the ball. Doesn't mean that he's going to be a bust. Who the hell knows here? And I'm not saying I wouldn't take a chance on him. I'm saying that he wouldn't be the guy that I'd be putting all my eggs in to the basket. I like Penix better last year. And again, Bo Nix I didn't love necessarily, but look at what he's done. Do you think Sanders is going to be that? And this year, Cam Ward, I got to look more at Drew Aller. Maybe we'll watch the game coming up this weekend or this week. The bowl
You'll
game.
See him.
Was that Thursday night?
I think so.
Yeah. Anyway, Patrick is calling from Melville. What's up, Patrick?
Hey, guys. How you doing? So, just a little, obviously, Dable and Shane, I mean, believe it or not, I actually think that Dable is the one to keep, but obviously you can't keep them both. So, you can't get rid of them both, or you can't keep, so you have to keep both of them. That being said, you know, that game that, like I said, we won, I know you didn't, I was saying that, you know, it was a useless game because the way that the Giants are constituted now, like Malik Nabers is the star. I mean, it's the quarterback. And actually, like I said, like you guys were saying, the quarterbacks that are coming out now, I think Shedeur Sanders was actually thinking of coming out last year, and they were saying that he was going to be a second-round pick. So that's why he was smart and actually stayed in school. I mean, Shane dropped the ball. He had Penix, he had Bo Nix, and he had J.J. McCarthy, and he decided to stay with Daniel Jones. So if anything, I would say that, you know, Shane is the indictment here, and I just don't know how it's going to get even better.
Yeah, but Pat, hold on a second. Pat, I think when you frame it that way, I think that you discount the fact that Mara was very heavy-handed with the Daniel Jones stuff.
Which we talked about you know, for a while. So, okay, and I'm sure Mara is factoring that in. But that's why it's hard to, I know you hate when we go back and, you know, reiterate whether it's Barkley from years ago.
No, I don't hate it. They're bad for so long.
Well, I get it, but
I get it too. I mean, it's part of their story. That's why they are here.
Yeah, I don't like going back either, but I do think it's hard for me to say what I would do now because I wouldn't have put myself in this position to begin with. It doesn't mean that like the decisions that I would have made would have led to maybe other problems. But my point is I would have never taken a running back with the number two pick overall when you desperate. Like that was their chance on a tee. Eli was clear as day done or was time to move on from Eli. They had the number two pick overall. Now, like, let's say I would have taken Rosen, who I love at the time. Obviously, that would have been a disaster, but they could have taken a quarterback instead of a running back, which could have changed this entire trajectory. That then led to Jones, which then led to keeping Jones for 6 years, which led, you know, Shane and Dable and Mara to keep Jones, which now got us here. Like, it's all connected. Each mistake has led to the next one.
Yeah, it's funny. You brought something up before about how Mara is still a little different than Woody, and yeah, I know that he is. I pushed back a little bit, but let me give your point a little credence without speaking for you. Let's face it. Woody's mistakes are just because Woody is incompetent so far. He has not proven to be anything other than that. And we'll get more to the Jets coming up. This is to cross the bridge back to Mara. Mara, if you look at the beginning of his true mistake, it was born out of sentimentality. And I do now, you can't use this as an excuse forever, but you know, Mara and the organization's reluctance to move on from Eli, I do think that we underrate how tough that was. He won you multiple championships. He's a New York sporting icon. He's a great guy. Like, I understand it blurred what I even in his heart back then at some point, even before he was benched for Geno in Oakland. I think that John knew better because I do think at his core he's a football man. But we're not going to just keep putting this on the register as a receipt. Like, oh, it expires. I get it. You can't hang on this forever. But I think Woody's just not good. I think Mara was pretty good. And I think the complex nature of Eli's situation really put him in a bad spot that he's never recovered from.
But then, even worse, he did it again.
Yes, but why did he do it again? Because you're talking about with Saquon at number two. That was for Eli's. Then he did it again with Daniel Jones. With the contract.
Meaning you're saying sentimental. Like he fell in love with Jones, maybe because of the person that he was.
I think he reminded him of Eli. Honestly.
Well, there you go. So it all traces back to that.
His affinity for Eli.
I'm not saying it's easy.
No, I know.
But that's the reality of their situation. All right, let's talk some Jets when we come back. We'll continue with the Giant calls as well. 888-808-1019. We got to get to the Jets' point of view with Woody, with Vrabel now potentially being off the table. BT and Sal on the Fan. BT and Sal back on the Fan. We'll get back to your Giants calls in just a second. Let's work the Jets into the conversation. So we heard from their owner, Woody Johnson, yesterday. Before we get on Woody and Vrabel and all that, BT, let's listen to the comments from the Jets owner after the game yesterday.
Well, you know, everybody thought this is going to, not just me, thought this was talented, but all the networks that are paying millions of dollars, they put us in six prime time. So everybody thought this was going to be unbelievable. So from that standpoint, yeah, we didn't live up to that early opinion of virtually everybody. But we ended up well, because I don't care about anything else, but a win at the end was good. And so we beat them today. They played well. They didn't give up. Everybody showed up. And we did some
Except
really
the
nice
fans.
Stuff. So I'm proud of the guys.
Dude. Yeah, I mean, I saw that yesterday.
I actually...
Woody, just keep walking.
I legitimately, at that point... Because remember, we were like hopeful that maybe Woody acknowledged his wrongdoings and would maybe change after we talked to Diana Rossini, who mm-hmm. kept writing those reports.
Yeah.
And then Woody, by the way, in the Post with Costello denied all that.
Yeah, I saw that. That was actually a pretty good piece. There was a lot of stuff there.
If you missed it, check it out in the Post. Brian Costello has a... It wasn't exclusive, I think, with Woody.
Yeah,
but basically denied all that stuff that Rossini wrote. I watched
about son being involved in all that. It's son definitely worth checking out.
Hearing Woody and reading the quotes about it, I have no hope that he gets it this time.
Well, okay, listen, I'm going to lean on something that I've leaned on a lot, partly to get me through some of these times with our teams, but also because I truly believe it. I'm not going to get too wrapped up in what he says. I'm going to react to what he does. And I know that, you know, they really need an established guy. Because of Aaron Glenn, I think that's a little different. I'm going to put him aside for a moment. But any other move other than an established coach, Vrabel's obviously not coming, but like a Flores or a Gruden or somebody that's done the job before, it tells me that he's not going to change. So I just want to see who he hires, and then we'll get a sense of how willing he is to change.
Yeah, it doesn't mean that they can't ever have success.
No, I know.
But it's just... Woody just doesn't get it, and he never will. Like, that to me is clear. Again, he can make a good hire, and they can win in spite of him. He clearly doesn't get it. I don't know how you could say, well, they won yesterday, and nothing else matters, and we finished strong. Like, that's just so tone deaf and out of touch. He just doesn't get it. Okay, but now get back to the important stuff. And it seems like the Jets are interviewing everybody. The Rams front office, the Chiefs front office. Vance Joseph is on the list. Brian Griese is on the list.
Rex tomorrow,
which was a huge mistake. And Rex today basically saying, see, that's the one that
I heard some of that.
Rex saying that he thinks he's going to get the job. Like, that's the only... I wouldn't want Ron Rivera either. Of the name so far. And there are some others that I wouldn't want. But they still, even though Vrabel, and of course the Patriots firing Mayo after 1 year, realizing they made a mistake and knowing Vrabel is on the table, they're doing the right thing and are probably going to hire Vrabel. You could connect those dots as you did last week before this even happened. So it seems like maybe your top choice in Vrabel going to be off the board. Doesn't mean the Jets can't still get a good head coach. There are plenty of good options. I would go with Pete Carroll. I would love Cliff Kingsbury, Brian Flores. There's some risk in some of these guys. Gruden, sure.
Yep.
But I still think they can make a good hire here. And they seem to be doing their due diligence in interviewing almost everybody except for Ben Johnson for whatever reason.
Yeah, I know they're not going to talk to him. Now, due diligence is great. Talk to as many people as you can. Gleam as much info as you can. That's what smart people do. But there's also the risk of having too many conversations and not having enough, substantive conversations. Like where...
Now we're down a little.
Yeah, and they will. Of course, listen, they're going to obviously narrow this thing down. You know, the Jets to me, and it really just a bigger picture launch point here for a moment. Like it's amazing. It really is amazing. All year, you know, we're sitting there watching the games. You know, how come they can't force turnovers? Well, they got a bunch of them yesterday when it means nothing. How come Rodgers can't throw a ton of touchdowns? Well, you got four from them yesterday. How come the Jets can't win divisional games? Well, they beat up on the Dolphins yesterday. It really is amazing just how when you want them to do it, they don't. When you don't want them to do it, they do. But the Jets are actually a lot more correctable soon than I really think a lot of people think. Now, they've got to obviously change the run defense, and Rodgers is the massive elephant in the corner of the room, which we could get back to. But I remember, I said this last night on the podcast, it's out there if you guys want to check it out. I remember after the 90s, a million years ago, but there's a point here. After the 96 season when the Jets won once, right? I'm in Atlantic City, and it's the night that Princess Diana was killed in the car wreck.
Ooh, yeah,
and yeah, that's why I mm-hmm. really, truly remember everything. And we're coming back. It's in the morning. Like, we're coming back at like 9 in the morning. We were up all night. And me and like five of my buddies, I had just graduated college. I had my first apartment after college. And the Jets are playing at 4 o'clock that day at the Old Kingdom against Seattle. And this is Parcells' first game. They went from a 1-15 train wreck. Now, we all sat down, hammering back beers, watching the Jets. I didn't know what to expect. You know what happened that day? The Jets won 41-3 on the road. And I don't think the Kings were a terrible team. I'm not saying that the same fate awaits whomever coaches this team. But the first thing that this Jets team has to do, if you are not a film guy, if you're not an assignment guy, if you're a selfish guy, get lost. Like, for the Jets to get even remotely competitive, which they're going to fast with the right coach, All you have to do is get rid of a few selfish people. They're not, and cut down the penalties are born out of laziness or selfishness, right? And you're either trying to get pad the stats, or you're just not paying attention to film and you, whatever, your head's in space. Sal, that's why you can't run the risk of a coordinator, unless it's Glenn and he's different. The more I think about it, because Vrabel's not coming, Flores.
Yeah.
That's my guy.
Yeah.
That's my guy.
I'd be okay
with
that.
I need a kick-ass guy in here.
Well, why not Pete Carroll, though?
I don't think Pete's a kick-ass guy.
Yeah.
I don't think he's that
guy.
Yeah,
I don't know if you need a kick-ass guy.
Oh, no, they need a kick-ass guy. No, 16 penalties for 120-something yards against the Bills.
Salah was a kick-ass
guy. No, he wasn't. No. We thought he was.
I'm supposed to be a badass guy.
He's the worst kind of kick-ass guy. Somebody who looks like an ass-kick guy who's docile. I need an ass-kick. I don't care what you look like. Just be an ass-kick guy.
I want a real head coach. I would love Brian Flores here. He wouldn't be my first choice, but I would love to see Brian. Just because, again, I'm trying to eliminate the question marks in the candidates. I want a known commodity. But I do think that the Jets are a lot closer. I heard Gio this morning say that both the Jets and the Giants next year have a 0% chance.
I heard him say that. I totally disagree.
So do I.
At least with the Jets.
Yeah, and who knows? He did say who knows with the NFL. But I disagree. I think the Jets could actually be a good team.
Me too. Look at the word. Dolphins are going backwards. Patriots aren't going to be good yet.
With a real head coach who comes in and cleans up the mess, identifies, nope, this guy's a loser, this guy's a baby, this guy's selfish, cleans up the mess, they can start to win football games. That's why I want a no doubt about it. Carroll, Gruden, again, I'd be open to Kingsbury, who's an offensive mind and a second chance. Flores, who's a badass and had some success with Miami. Yeah, I'd be open to all that. I don't think, though, just because Vrabel is seemingly off the board, that all hope is gone for the Jets. I still believe there is a clear path that's not too difficult for them to have immediate success next year.
Yeah, I'm with you. I don't think all hope is gone. I think the home run target for me is obviously going to be gone. And I've been talking about Vrabel for over a month. That's who I wanted, not happening. Yep. I think he played the Jets like a fiddle. I think the symbolism of him, of the Jets being his first interview, not the Jets' first, his first interview was a direct shot. Hey, Kraft, let's go. I mean,
you might be coaching against me.
Better hurry up, buddy, because I'm walking into this building, and if you don't get your act together and fire me, because he couldn't say it, and I don't think that he wanted a behind-the-scenes Vrabel. I don't even think he wanted his guys, his agents, his people to do a power flex on a former Patriot, a guy who won championships. He wanted no blood on his hands. So by walking into the Jets building, that was his way of saying, get rid of Mayo, and you got me. So I saw that coming a mile away. That's what's going to happen.
Good job by you, because initially I was like, wow, that's weird. Why would he want to go to the Jets? Why would Vrabel have interest in the Jets?
Yeah,
makes no sense.
Well, and the other thing, too, is think about this. Compared to the Patriots, and now this obviously is something that every potential Jets candidate is going to have to measure. Like, the Patriots have, I want to say, $130 million in cap space. The Jets don't. The Patriots have a top five pick. The Jets don't. Now, it's only two picks later, but it's seven. But they've got a young, ascending, very talented, very cheap quarterback going into year two, and the Jets have the complete opposite, literally, in a guy who's 40 or 41 with a ton of dead weight if you cut him or trade him, and you got to find out what to do with Rodgers. Like, what appealing, a more stable owner in Kraft versus Woody. You tell me which building you want
to
stay in.
Also, and Mike Francesa always used to say this, you don't want to be the guy to replace the guy.
Yeah. I remember him saying that.
Yeah, Belichick now was replaced by Mayo, who never had a chance. And now Vrabel comes in, he's replacing Mayo. He's not even replacing the guy anymore.
You win seven games, you're a hero. Look at the Vrabel.
It is the perfect spot. Former Patriot, good head coach, all the things that you just mentioned, perfect landing.
You want to left, though, real quick, though, Sal. Just think about this. If you told us, because we sat here in August and we all had our thoughts on what the Jets could be. If you told us then that, Aaron Rodgers is going to throw just around 30 touchdowns. He did.
Yeah.
Aaron Rodgers is going to suit up for every single game this year. He did. Did you think that they'd win five games?
No. Even I, who didn't have great expectations, I thought maybe nine, which would have been under their number. Like, if Rodgers stayed healthy, and I'm happy for him to get number 500, and he looked good. And I would say, and I know Rodgers said he's going to make these decisions. While it seems like it's obvious the Jets aren't going to bring him back, I think he's going to want to play. Now, where he's going to end up, what options he's going to have, that I don't know. And maybe he'll make his decision based on that after the fact. But I believe Rodgers still believes he's got some good football left in him. I believe he does as well.
Yep.
And he's a competitor. He does not want to go out like that. I think he does want to come back here and win here. Because
I think he's open to it.
Which is why I just want to see it just one more year.
Me too. I'm okay with it. You know, the thing, too, is like, I don't know. You throw four touchdowns. Is that the impetus to walk away? I don't know what's in his heart, but think about this. Hey, you know what? Not that he's this outwardly cocky. He's clearly confident. He won't say this, but you know, if you throw four touchdowns and all the whispers, Rodgers can't play, Rodgers is done, Rodgers finished, he stinks, and I know that they were basically all short passes, but whatever. The record will forever reflect four touchdowns if that's his final game. Maybe that's like, all right, I did prove I could still play a little bit. The last 2 months of football were much better than the first 2 months, statistically provable by a wide margin. And is that enough, or is it, hey man, I just threw four more touchdowns, maybe I could throw 40 next year? I don't know.
I think it's that.
I kind of do too.
Because of the competitor that he is.
Yeah.
Think about this, BT. This guy's one of the great quarterbacks of all time, regardless of what happened. He could have easily walked away after the Achilles injury on September 11, 2023. Like, that could have been it for him.
Yeah.
Goes into the sunset, four-time MVP, Super Bowl champion. Hey, you know what? I tried a new... I'm not working my way back. He worked his way back. At age 40, went through the rigorous rehab nonstop through the offseason, all to come back this year, dealt with the nonsense that was the Jets season with the firing of coaches and this and that, the struggling all throughout the course of the year, played every single game.
He did.
So left standing and healthiest at the end of the season, now gets to have a real respite and a good break in the offseason, getting set for next season. I think Rodgers wants to play next year. I felt that way before he went into the darkness last time.
Yeah.
I think he wants to play.
I just wonder if Woody's going to change his mind on whether or not he wants Aaron back.
He said he's going to let the coach make that decision. I hope he actually does that. Point is, they're going to make a decision in a couple of days. They don't have a head coach yet. So how's that going to be the case? All right, BT and Sal on the fan. We'll come back, get to your calls. Jets, Giants, 888-808-1019.